are delighted that you could join us today, and we hope you'll join us each and every week on our new prepareforchange.net radio show at bbsradio.com every Sunday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., where we will be featuring new speakers from the global community, and we hope you can join us. Please remember that Prepare for Change is a volunteer group and we survive by donations only. So look deep within, and if you feel guided, we encourage you to go to the prepareforchange.net website and donate an amount you can afford. That way you keep going the divine prepareforchange.net global movement. We thank you for your generosity and much needed show of love and kindness. My name is Judy. I am the co-chair of the media group for prepareforchange.net. I would like to share an important announcement to all the Prepare for Change members and event support group leaders around the globe. We're currently upgrading the prepareforchange.net website to make it easy for all those light workers to form an event support group or join an existing one. We have just added to the prepareforchange.net homepage a chart called Entries for Event Support Groups Form. So if you go to the prepareforchange.net homepage, scroll down, you'll find it. If you're looking to join a group in the area you live in, you can contact that organizer on the list, or else you could start your own event support group in your area. So just fill out the entry for support group form, starting with the name of your country, your city, and adding a contact name and an email. So anyone who's looking to join a group in your area can easily contact the leader in that specific area. We're also announcing the relaunch of our prepareforchange.net weekly newsletters, which will include detailed information about our new platforms to unite all of the global event support groups' social media communities, such as Facebook, etc. So, look out for the next newsletter, and you will see more specific information regarding this important social media subject. The Prepare for Change newsletters will now be sent out every Friday. Prepareforchange.net strongly believes in teaching by example. So starting this week, we are now including an example of the weekly Los Angeles Event Support Group invitation. That way you can see how it's done, get ideas on how to form, grow, or keep your own group going successfully. And we're really excited to announce all of these changes, and we're thrilled to see our beloved prepareforchange.net family growing worldwide daily.
I saw it last night.
Does this go any lower?
Yeah, on HBO it's like 3 seconds.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Judy.
And I'm Dove.
And we want to welcome you to the Prepare for Change radio show. Prepare for Change is a community roundtable council and volunteer communication hub. It was founded in June 2013 to provide vital information and guidance before, during, and after the planetary shift called the Event.
Beautiful and holistic changes are occurring everywhere on Earth. A massive surge of positive feelings is powering a deep shift worldwide. Optimism and joy are creating peace in everyone as they are filled with an instinctive knowing of truth and humanity's potential for loving change.
The unfolding of love and truth has been written about and spoken of by great prophets, sages, and mystics of all cultures for thousands of years. It is the event when humanity is lifted above the darkness and fear that has so engulfed us. Now is the time prophesied for the victory of the light. Greetings, everyone. I'm Judy, co-chair of the media group for prepareforchange.net. And we're here today with the second prepareforchange.net radio show for Sunday, March 1st, 2015. Last week, we interviewed Cobra via Skype, and he gave us some insights on some of the challenges that humanity is facing at this time. So we thought that we would continue exploring some of these topics today. I'm here in the studio with my beautiful co-host, Raisa.
Heartfelt greetings, voices of the world. I'm happy to be here with you. Today we have two guests with us who both share their passion for being part of the planetary awakening through music. They have shared their music at the Prepare for Change gatherings in West Los Angeles and many other places. Dov is the co-chair for the PFC Renaissance Group and is also a singer, songwriter, composer, violinist, and artist. In addition, he is the co-founder of the Earth Harmony Foundation. Welcome, Dov.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you and get a chance to converse about some of the topics that are passionate to myself and to my friend here, Dave Norwood, who I met playing violin at a kirtan group in the mornings. We were doing some beautiful music and he showed up with his tablas and jammed along. And then another time I was playing at an expo, the Conscious Life Expo, and he was sort of the house band and showed up and played with everybody with his amazing percussion. And so we jammed and then we've been recording since that time. That's about a year, right, Dave?
Yeah, it's been a year.
So Dave, I know that you're quite a global traveler, musician, lecturer, and teacher on herbs and nutrition, foods as nutrition, and that you also teach survivalist skills. So today we would like to hear some of your insights on these topics and how the two of you collaborated on your music. I know that many people are starting prepareforchange.net groups around the world, and one of the components of these meetings is always having live music. And I know the time that you and Dove came and shared your music with us was extraordinary. By the lake, do you remember?
Of course.
What was that instrument that you were playing?
The instrument's called a Zen handpan, and there's only a few of them in the world, and they're very advanced, high-tech, channeled, you would say Palladian type of technology that has a frequency of vibe like the 528 hertz, which is like the Earth's resonance, which heals. And it has a vibe, and it's very just piercing. It's very pure. And no matter what note I hit, it seems to have a real profound effect on people's energy, especially their subconscious as well as their conscious. And it's fun to play. And it's part of my gifts to be able to share that. And the chemistry I have with Dove just takes it to a whole nother level of just co-creating and adding to the ascension to this planet. And that's just a little small short story version of this instrument.
Well, I know that people were very drawn to the instrument whenever I saw the two of you performing together, like at the Conscious Life Expo. You both played there for the last two shows. And it definitely has some magic about it. You know, I found myself wanting to learn to play it too. How is it easy to learn?
It depends. No, it's not easy to learn. It does take time. You can bang on it and you'll kind of get some doinks and tweaks and some funky sounds, but it's definitely a technique. It's an art. You've got to have some talent, I would say, because you can bang on it, yes. And it's a sensitive instrument.
I heard you play the instrument and it sounds cosmic.
Cosmic. That's a good way of describing it.
I'm just wondering, what is the effect, if you know, on a person's consciousness? Because there is it has a transcending effect on the listener.
Yeah, there's many ways to answer you that on this, what you're kind of asking me, Reese. All I can say is that it has a certain sound that there's nothing like it on the earth. And it's a one-of-a-kind kind of vibe thing that's only in this century. It was created actually 15 years ago. So it's new technology. And not anybody can make them. There's only four or five people in the world max that make them. It takes three people 12 hours a day for 1 week just to make one. So they're very expensive and they're hand-chosen from the person. You can't just walk up with any amount of money and say, hey, I want that. The guy has to know you, has to like you, and he has to know a lot about your background, and he'll decide if you get it. It took me 2 years to get that.
Can you tell what it looks like?
Yeah, it looks like a flying saucer.
That's what I thought the first time I saw it.
It is. It's a flying saucer.
It does look like a flying disc.
And you know what's so amazing about that instrument is that it is perfectly shaped a certain way and tweaked in every little angle of like sacred geometry. And if one like millimeter is off, the sound will be off, like it will be out of tune.
I was interested when you said at the beginning that it was a Pleiadian. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I think that goes above most people's heads. From what I understand from two of the creators who made these particular instruments, they said they channeled it and downloaded it from the Pleiadians, which is like a, they're like, there are father clones maybe of the galactic universe, whatever, that gave us, this is what they use in other universes and other galaxies, this kind of instrument. So it's sort of advanced.
Do you know what metal or what materials are used to make that instrument?
Yeah, it's metal. There might be some titanium. There could be a combination of some other metals, but it's mainly just pure metal.
Iron?
It could be maybe a little bit of that.
Titanium?
Sometimes there's a little bit, they say, in it, depending. So, and each one is individual. There's not one that is the same. When you make one, that's it. It's priceless, like antique in its own little thing. It's not like you put in a factory, make 100 of them out the door like Guitar Center. It's not like that. So it's special.
And did you have to learn to play it?
Yeah, you got to learn how to play it. You got to know the notes, and you got to know how to make chords. So there's a knowledge and a skill and a talent and definitely a channeling. It's very intimate, and it you can create music out of it. So there's melodies that are coming out of it. So
Dave actually comes in and creates a rhythm and a pattern and some energy from his instrument. And I'll either help by putting tracks over it, or we'll just jam live. And I'll take out the violin and I'll find the key that he's playing in, and we'll come up with a composition on the spot. Thank you.
beautiful. I really felt the magic of the piece, that it was as if I was sitting underneath a waterfall and meditating at the center of the universe.
Did you feel like it aligned your chakras?
Absolutely. It's really transcending, beautiful. And it soothes one's feelings and emotions.
Yeah, it's healing. That's just the bottom line.
Well, I think in our culture, in cultures that I know Dave has traveled so much to exotic and native cultures, that our culture itself doesn't always have the chance to have the shaman touch and bring us to face the light and the dark and go within and feel the aloneness and the connection to the earth. So that's part of the purpose of the music, is to evoke that in ourselves when we don't have the tribal experience every day.
Very clear, Dove.
Now, Dave, I was very interested to find out how the name Travelin' Dave was coined.
I have an underground fan base of friends outside of my entertaining whatever life, and a lot of friends used to say, this guy's always traveling. So I was dating a few girls about 15 years ago, and they said to me, "What? You know, you never have time for us. You're just this traveling guy." And I was like, "Yeah, so don't you want to travel?" And so I back and forth would say to friends, "Well, yeah, don't you, everybody travels?" And they go, "We're just going to call you just this traveling Dave." And I go, "Yeah, I guess I am." I'm like, whatever. And then they kept calling me, and I finally thought, you know what? I'm just going to use that because I'm going to travel the rest of my life. So here I am.
And I've seen some of your videos on YouTube under the name Traveling Dave, and I was very interested in one of your recent ones where you were with these wild monkeys in South America. And I was thinking, these monkeys look like they had never interacted with humans before. And I was thinking you might have been scared.
There's many ways I could respond to that, so I guess for the show I'll just say that there are truly miracles that can happen as you travel the world, and good and bad. But I will say, out of all the countries that I've traveled in my life, this is one of the highlights that I have to say I'm still kind of in shock, because I was doing a trek way deep in the rainforest of Bolivia. And I saw these different animals, so, you know, I'm just kind of doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I get to the peak of this mountain, I'm overlooking a view, and all of a sudden, I just saw these huge monkeys staring at me. So I was like, God, it'd be so cool to kind of maybe touch them or just hang out with them. So I saw them, you know, I approached them, and they would run. And then I'd walk away, and then they'd approach me. So there was this little back and forth thing, and I thought, what the heck's going on here? So anyway, I tried touching one, and they screamed and ran, and they threw their fangs up. And they were getting nasty. So anyway, long story short, after a couple hours, you know, I was a little terrified because they outnumbered me and I had no weapons. And there's malaria out there and there's no food and you're in the middle of nowhere. So anyway, what happened is we slowly started approaching each other and they became my friends. So a true miracle is that wild monkeys became my friends, and I videoed it. I had a camera while I was holding them, especially like the mom with the baby, and it's up on YouTube, so if you ever want to see it. But the bottom line is, miracles can happen if you have a positive energy and a vibe.
So you have a benevolent musical instrument of love, which you use to create new friends, and especially those among the monkeys?
You know what, I will have to say maybe that's all part of it. I still don't know how or why or what the miracle, why it happened, but probably because I do have a good, happy, positive vibe, and I just deleted fear. At first I was terrified, and then eventually I was like, nope, if something's gonna happen, it's gonna be now. And it just sort of cracked the ice, and here I am playing with these huge wild monkeys with fangs like 3 inches, 2 inches long, and they could have destroyed me for sure. I could have disappeared. So anyway.
But you're right, Dave, that there are miracles. I remember once saying to my grandma May, who lived to be 101, we're going to get on to longevity in a minute, and I used to say, that's a miracle, Grandma. And she would say, no, miracles are supposed to happen daily. And they really can. They really can happen every single day. I'm very interested to know, was there something in your life that happened to bring you into using food as medicine?
Yes. It just seemed common sense, the bottom line. As a kid, I saw the different types of foods, and whatever came from the earth just sort of like was like hit the note, like that's where you should be, like that's a good chord, or oh, that was a good kiss, or that was a good taste. When I ate things that were artificial or wrong, something felt wrong, and it was like a subliminal kind of a vibe of like going, you shouldn't.
When you look at the food, do you connect with it? Do you have this vibrational resonance with the food that you're about to eat?
Very amazing that you acknowledge that. Absolutely. It's sort of like orgasmic. You can tell by the vibrant life. It's like from the earth. And the more bitter and dirty it is, it seems like the more it just sort of goes, yeah, that's for you.
I like to use smoothies. I like organic blueberries and strawberries, blackberries, and mangoes. Can you suggest something else that people could put in their fruit smoothies that are going to be helpful to, you know, good, healthy living?
There's many ways to answer that, Judy. I guess the way I'm going to express an answer for you is that, yes, there's hundreds of ways to add to smoothies, but depending on what your taste is and what you like and what you don't like, I mean, all I could say is to start with smoothies. It's nice to, if you're thinking of health, you might want to throw in some maca, some spirulina, some honey basics, and the list goes on from there. So, or just take regular fruits or vegetables and just mix them, and that's it. So, depending on where you want to go with this.
So, what is maca, and where does it come from?
Maca is a plant, and it's an ancient superfood herb medicinal plant that only comes from Peru, and it comes up high in the Andes, and if it's any other higher or lower elevations, it cannot grow. So it's a superfood that has so many minerals, vitamins, and medicinal purposes that the main thing, why people eat it, is that it gives you energy, pure, and it has no side effects.
Now, I know that you've been helping a lot of people in their healing journeys, and Dove is one of them. And I'm wondering, Dove, what is it that you've incorporated into your eating patterns that Dave has shared with you?
Sure. I've been getting more and more fascinated with cooking itself, just the process of vegetables and sauces and seasonings, and trying to really experience all the different spices and flavors. And Dave's come through with inspiring a more healthy perception of it all. And when we were recording, we would make smoothies and different sauteed vegetables that, with the right spices and the right focus on it, just enhances the flavor, and it becomes a powerful experience. And eating is it's transforming. And then we go in the studio and record, having this heightened experience from the food, and it's just putting attention and focus onto exactly what you're doing, and allowing it to change you and transform you, and be making it real experience cooking, as well as what you put in it with nuts and fruits, bananas, and if it's a smoothie, and if it's a sauteed vegetables, then you really take your time with it and experiment and see what you like.
And I've noticed that Dave has got you putting honey with everything. What does the honey do, Dave?
Again, a long story short, honey is like a antibacterial, antifungal, medicinal bee spit, and it's super powerful. It's super healing, healthy, and something that your body really needs, which most people don't even know about or really even care about it, because most of the honey in the world is artificial. So to keep it simple, it's medicinal, and it's a true food source.
Isn't cacao one of your other...
Oh, God. Well, yeah, cacao is totally my favorite thing probably in the whole world. And I don't actually even like chocolate, by the way. But real chocolate is cacao. And the main reason why I even eat it, and this just cracks the code bottom line with the whole thing about food, is that it's the number one superfood on the planet, and it's ancient. It does more things than any food on this planet.
Dave, Dove, what do you think? I made this morning a shake made of raw cashews, some dark chocolate, hemp seeds, almond milk, apple, and some dried apricots. What do you think?
It's fantastic.
I loved it, by the way.
It's a fantastic mix, but if the stuff was organic, hopefully, and not GMO'd and doesn't have bad salt and wasn't in cholesterol-high cooking oils or process, it's fantastic. So that sounds very tasty. So I hope it was pure, you know, raw.
It was, and it wasn't salty. I didn't put salt in it.
Okay.
So what the difference is, I think, is in consciousness is thinking of food as medicine is something new to me. And eating just strawberries with honey on it and knowing that that's just pure food from the garden, from the earth, that it changes your consciousness and then it sort of clears you out. What about detoxing? Is there other things you can do to kind of clear your system from years of different habits?
Yeah, again, this is a very in-depth answer. So since we don't have that much time, and I guess to answer your question, Doug, more right to the point, is detoxing is the most important survivalist mechanism thing on this planet. And without doing it leads to sickness and poor lifestyle and a crash in your life. So anyway, detoxing is very important.
And also, of course, Dave, I'm sure you'd agree, exercise. Everybody should be finding what their favorite form of exercise is. And I know, Dove, you really like yoga, right?
Yeah, yoga is something that allows you to stretch and meditate at the same time as exercise. I feel like it expands your consciousness as well as it expands your muscles and your body. And I know Dave rides his bike here sometimes. It's awesome that he's active in that. I love bike riding and running, and hiking is also just in nature, just walking through the forests or hillsides, anywhere you are, adds, you know, takes you out of some of the energies of the city and resets you, retones you.
Recalibrates.
It's like, and it's sort of a mental detox. And I think you talk about olive oil a lot too, is something important?
Yeah, again, Dove, I mean, there's all kinds of oils that you could use, but depending on which one's natural, organic, and not altered and tweaked in a laboratory is a whole other subject. So, yeah, oils can be very, very good and good for longevity.
You take them for, like, as a cleanse, right, overnight sometimes?
Oh, yeah, okay, referring to that. Yeah, that's what, should I explain about that or just talk?
Yeah.
Just quick, well, yeah, one of the strongest detoxes and the most powerful way to rid yourself of poisons and toxins is through a deep liver kidney cleanse, and that's through drinking olive oil, like a pint with lemon and cayenne pepper at night, and then you wake up and release. And you need to do this a couple times a year for the rest of your life, and that is one of the things that helps reverse anti-aging, disease, the list goes on and on and on. So yeah, it's rough.
Well, we're going to come back and explore this topic a little bit more, but let's share one of your yoga songs.
Right. Okay, this song is a fun song to inspire us all to just do a little bit of stretching.
In the morning, it calms us for the day. The limberness we feel is worth the price we pay. We do yoga in the evening, it takes the stress away. We stretch the left, we stretch the right, we stretch in every way. We do yoga in the lotus, yoga in the yard, yoga in the garden. It's really not that hard. We put our feet down to the earth, our arms up to the sky. We stretch and stretch and stretch, just like we're gonna fly.
Yoga, yoga, yoga.
Oh, yo, yo, yo.
Yoga, yoga, yoga.
Oh, yoga, yoga,
yoga. Yoga, yoga.
Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. We do yoga yoga in the child's pose. Yoga like a swan, yoga like a fish, and it's okay to yawn. Take a deep breath, now fill lungs with oxygen. Hold it a little longer, let it out again. Now 5 in the morning is my favorite yoga time. Hatha, Kundalini, Karma, there are many kinds. Yoga means a union of the body, soul, and mind. We may not reach Samadhi, but it tends our mind.
Yoga.
Welcome to today's yoga class. Please stand on one foot. Put your other foot against your knee. Now stretch your arms out to each side and tilt so your right arm is reaching way up in the sky. Now take a deep, deep breath. Now lift onto your toes. Put your other foot in the back. And don't forget to breathe. Here we go. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Yo, yo, yo. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Om. Now, yoga, yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Yo, yo, yo. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Everybody, yoga, yoga, yoga.
Ooh, yo, yo, yo.
Yoga, yoga, yoga.
Yoga, yoga,
yoga, yoga, yoga, yoga, yoga.
So I'm certainly feeling ready to go do some yoga. What about you, Dave?
I always want to do yoga.
What about you, Reza?
Oh, yoga is my passion.
And Dove?
Yeah, I'll find some time today to do some more yoga.
I'm wondering about doing yoga on my paddleboard. You know, stand-up paddleboarding is great because you're standing on the board, you feel like you're Jesus walking on water, and then you're just kind of gliding along the water. I love to do that in Hawaii. That's my favorite form of exercise. And I don't do it for the aerobic part of it, but I do it for the feeling and the vibration of letting go of stress. I think stress, is that right, Dave? Stress is one of the things we need to focus on getting rid of?
Absolutely, but it's kind of hard in this new millennium of all this chaos. Whole other set of rules and stuff. But yep, you got to try to get rid of stress.
So what do you do, Dave, to get rid of stress?
Music, meditate, tune out the world, disconnect, eat healthy food, detox, pray, travel, the list goes on.
Raisa, what about you? What
company.
Do you do?
Company. I keep, it's very important, like you. You are so inspiring and uplifting. Breathing, meditation, food, nutrition. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, you're copying me.
I'm learning fast. What we allow in our consciousness is also very important. The kinds of films we watch. I haven't had television for 15 years in my home. What do you think about this, Dove?
I think you are a contrarian. You have a ability to go on your own path, independent of what the world says. That takes a lot of
independence,
willpower, and
awareness,
awareness and insightfulness. I'm not quite there, but I have I think meditation is a way to just separate yourself from your too much of your mind and get into your heart, get into higher dimensions. And creativity, I think, is the way I go with art or music. And being the creative mind sort of gives you extra energy. Dave, do you ever find that we're in the studio and we start off tired, but the more music we work on, the more energy we get?
Yeah, music activates you, or it deactivates you, depending. So,
on our interview with Cobra last week, we had a question about anti-aging, and Cobra said it was when we connect with the creativity that keeps the flow of life going.
The life force is a secret to youthing. I think that's the word you came up with, youthing. That seems to be a very strong theme that a lot of my friends seem to want to find out. How do we stay youthful. And if you look at some of these cultures in the past, you know, in the Bible, they say people live 700 years, and some cultures even talk about living thousands of years. That's just an amazing thought. But, you know, here is our is a chance to try and really understand our bodies and understand time and how to live independent of stress, independent of time, in such a way that we connect with forces that are eternal.
Speaking of time, that's actually one of my secrets, because I'm over 50 now, and people would say to me, how could you be over 50? You don't look that old. And I go, one little secret is I've never worn a watch my whole life, because I don't feel attached to time. I don't feel it's relevant to me. I feel my spirit is the same spirit as when I was 20, as when I was 30, 40, 50. It's that same ageless, youthful spirit. So I have a great example, of course, in my Grandma May that I was mentioning before, who lived to be 102. I hope I do live to be 102 as well. But she paid attention, Dave, to some of the things you're talking about. I remember when I would go and stay with her in the summer. She had a little cottage on the beach in St. Heliers Bay, New Zealand. And she would have lecithin and oat straw tea and wheat germ, and we would go for long walks. She would tell me, when you go walk on the beach, you must have your bare feet and put them in the water, because the minerals are going to be absorbed into your system. And things like this, I think I grew up with. I was a vegetarian all my whole life, since I was a little girl in New Zealand. And so being a vegetarian, I think, is helpful for longevity as well. So those are
good points. I think animals have a certain healing quality, that their unconditional love, cats and dogs and other pets, you tune into their vibe. That's another way to stay young.
Well, I know that every time Raisa comes over here, that reptile, look at her, he's right, everybody in the studio right now. The reptile is a bearded dragon, and it's sitting on top of the baby grand white piano in the studio, and it's just staring at Raisa, and she's gently stroking its back. And it almost feels like the bearded dragon wants to be part of this conversation, right, Raisa?
We are certainly connected. He is in wonderful ancient being entity, part of who we are, right? It's not about being any higher or more evolved. It's connecting that Dave was talking about earlier, when he was in a jungle and he connected with the monkeys and he played for them, and they became a part of his experience there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying that as we connect, and we're not trying to outdo anything, we're trying to integrate ourselves with all the other cells of this cosmic body we're part of.
Very good. Very, very good.
Well, speaking about belief systems, Dr. Christiane Northrop has just released a new book, and I love the title. Guess what it's called, Raisa? It says, Goddesses Never Age. So basically, the premise of the book is that it's your belief system about aging that can give you a long or short life. In the book, she states that if you have the belief system of positive aging, you will actually add 7.5 years to your life. So people who have that positive belief system are going to show less age and live longer. What a great concept. What are your ideas about aging, Dave? What are your ideas?
This is a really huge subject once again, so for the show's purposes, I'll just say that your thoughts are which help add to anti-aging, and mainly, once again, breathing, detoxing, and eating has everything to do with anti-aging and just being healthier. It's not about your genes, too, by the way. That's a myth, so I'm going to just say that right off and keep that real simple. You're not born with better genes, or someone's better born. It is strictly your lifestyle and how you take care of yourself, and that's education and that's knowledge. And you can't sit here and just go, I'm victim and I'm not lucky, or he's not luckier than me. You have to learn, and it's not that difficult. So it's lifestyle, too, so keeping it simple.
Right. Being in the moment, I think, is part of the concept that the now, you know, that's come through a lot of teachers, that there is only one moment, you know, it's here, it's now, and the future and the past are bookends of what we're experiencing in the moment. So if we're too much out there or too much back there, then you know, we're stretching, and we're just where we are, and we're appreciating, and we're trying to take the lessons that come to us, everything, and calm ourselves down. Then life slows down, and we're taking in as much as is given to us.
Dave, you were commenting that when in the studio the other day, Dove was coughing, and maybe you felt it might have been related to chemtrails. Is that what you were thinking?
For this particular situation in time, to answer your question, yes. We're being bombarded by toxic chemtrails, and outside of thousands of other things, so it's a conglomerate of multiple things. First of all, I do want to say, outside of chemtrails, one of the worst things that's happening hitting this world right now is all the airplanes emit over 70 billion tons of lead. So it's almost worse than chemtrails. So a combination of that and all the multiple other things that are in this atmosphere, that will keep it real simple, yeah, that's causing havoc on animals, the environment, the world, the people, the air, and your life. So it's really sad, and that's by agenda, and that is not by coincidence. So not even to activate getting into that conversation. That's what's going on.
Right, Dave. We've just been, all this show, been talking about things we can do ourselves that are within our own power and our own free will and choice. But these things, we're talking about things that come from the sky that are induced, as well as what is put in foods, preservatives, and all kinds of pollutions. Those things are not always within our own making, our own control. So we have to respond somehow. We have to either go away from them or protect ourselves, as we said, with detoxing, or fight back, or try to make a statement that, you know, this is unacceptable. So what happened the other day was, we were in the studio, and there's this experience of not breathing, being able to breathe too well, happened. And the next day I felt that again, and I was coming out of the chiropractor, looked up in the sky and saw these planes leaving these chemtrails. And I thought, well, that, you know, that's interesting. Maybe that's what it's about. And a couple days later, I was listening on the radio, KPFK, to about a show called Look Up, and it was a documentary about chemtrails, and many pilots were explaining that this was really real for them, that they felt that there's some sort of agenda of releasing these chemicals, and they're stating that it has to do with fighting global warming, and this is good for the environment. But these pilots are saying, no, that's not good. That would heat, that would create a cloud that keeps the heat trapped. So they're urging people not to put up with this, and to try to make this stop. And I called my senator right away and said, you know, you're Barbara Boxer, and here in California, and chief environmental senator, what's your statement on that? And there's no statement on her website about this. It's almost as if they don't know about it, or they don't want to say anything. So I've asked her to come up with a public statement on this. And I think that's what we all can do. If you're listening to this and you experience that, you can ask your senators or your congressmen or some authority to make a statement. What is this existing? What do you know about it? Is this something you can do to help us eliminate this?
I think that's a great idea, and I think that's one of the things that Prepare for Change hopes will happen. When people get together and share knowledge, share information, then things that need to be addressed can be addressed, and we can change, for sure. So I'd like to switch gears right now and end the show today with a little bit of discussion about disclosure. And I'm just curious, for us here in this room, if you've had any personal experiences of seeing something in the sky that you knew was not an airplane, was not a balloon, a weather balloon, but was something else. Has anybody here had that experience? Dave, have you?
My whole life, I've seen all kinds of extraordinary things, and I'll be very real right here, but there's so much that I can share in this department. But again, I will say, this last year, I've probably seen over 30 different funny objects come in and out from the earth, and I've seen people kind of shape-shift like their energies, and I've felt like foreign energies from people that I don't even think were people, so like maybe you, I would say to you, hybrid. So disclosure, there's all kinds of funny stuff that are beyond our perceptions on this planet, whether we like it or not, and whether you want to think it's real or not. So to answer your question again, Judy, what do I think, or what, just talk about disclosure. I think things are becoming more in your face and real, and it's the hidden vibe of just something that's beyond our perception is getting more in our face. It's like a time where I think everything is changing to where it's like, it's time to, like, I feel like this energy of like, humans need to really know what's up. There's no more fantasy Disneyland ride anymore. It's like, okay, it's time to know the truth. So, anyway.
Right, and I think the work of Dr. Stephen Greer with the contact, the CE5 experience, Raisa, that you and I were part of for a period of time, where we actually went to an undisclosed location in nature, on the outskirts, up high, on the to communicate with galactic beings in a way that may not necessarily be visual, but maybe internal, that we can let the galactics know that we as humans are open and ready to have contact with them. And Raisa, didn't you feel that those times that we did that, that they were connecting with us?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I had a dream when I experienced being on an alien ship. And there were two amazing, beautiful, sparkling beings in front of me. They were tall. And you couldn't tell the difference between a man and a woman. And they were communicating with each other. And I looked at them, and I was wondering, how do they communicate with each other without moving their lips? And they communicated with me telepathically. They said, we don't use words. We communicate with each other the way we are communicating with you right now.
I think that's happening more and more, and not only can we have contact that way, but I do believe it's possible that we can have the same connection with inner Earth or hollow Earth. I know many people have felt that there was a city of light called Telos inside of Mount Shasta, and so I recently read a little bit about this, and lo and behold, Dove shared he had a dream about Telos. Dove, did you feel that took place in Telos?
Should I tell us about Telos?
Yes.
Yes, tell us.
Tell us about Telos.
Well, I've heard of this, but I've only just recently been doing some little research, and it said that if you intend to in your dream before you sleep to communicate with them, you may, and that's what happened just very recently. I think I experienced it as a university that I'd gone to, and they were at, it was sort of a beginning of the semester, and I was there, and these people were tall, and they were 6, 7, 8 feet, and
you told me that one of them was a friend of mine, Richard Hatch.
Well, that was the name that he gave.
Maybe it was the higher self of Richard was attending that university.
Or maybe Hatch, meaning it was time to come out of the egg, come out of the hole in the earth. The earth has an egg, and the earth was going to hatch, and we were going to actually connect with these beings in this underworld plant world that could transverse dimensions. So that's possible.
It is an interesting concept that we in the third dimension are evolving to maybe the fourth and fifth dimension, where we could experience, what is the word, interdimensional travel, right?
Right, because we're looking at how to get to these distant stars and galaxies that are hundreds, thousands of light years away, and it would take years and years beyond our lifetimes to reach, so if we do want to communicate, or if they come here, there has to be another way to make it, and through different dimensions. Now, we're in a third dimension. Our bodies are in third dimension, but our spirits, our souls can in dreams and other ways can reach these other dimensions. So it's an exciting time right now for us to be open to the potential, the possibility. Maybe
that's is necessary for our planet to evolve in order to overcome some of the environmental challenges we're having, to integrate some of these higher consciousness so that we can save ourselves.
I think that many people are expecting President Obama to come out on the world stage and announce that we have indeed been in contact with extraterrestrials all of these years. And other people say, no, I think Putin's going to do that. What do you think, Raisa?
That would be wonderful. I think Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev has already announced that in one of his off-camera remarks. I'm sure you can find that on YouTube. And I think it's about time that people wake up to the fact that we are multidimensional beings, that there is a whole galaxy, there are all these universes and systems, and we are not the only one. Human race living alone. I would love to. I always wanted to be a cosmonaut and travel
me
to other.
Me too.
Yes.
People would ask me, because I'm from New Zealand. They, you know, they would ask me about whether I still use my New Zealand passport, and I would say, actually, I think of myself not only as a global citizen but an intergalactic citizen. And in a way, we are all becoming that, really. I think that this particular time in history is one of the most exciting times ever, because these possibilities are opening us to up to us.
We shouldn't be labeled.
Right.
You're from this country. First of all, that's all artificial. If aliens come to a planet, they don't go, oh, all these hundreds of species are this. Wait, it's Earth, it's people. That's it. Put this label stuff behind you, I think.
When people tell me you have an accent, I always say, you have an accent too. It's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Well, we are all one consciousness. It's time to bring this interview to a close today. And I'm so glad to have you with us, Dave, here in the studio. We've so enjoyed hearing your insights about health and extraterrestrials and everything. We hope you'll come back and speak with us again.
Your wisdom, your experiences, thank you so much for sharing them with us. And Dov, your music is amazing and awesome and uplifting. Thank you so much for your amazing talent.
And we're going to close with our global anthem that Dov wrote, called Voices of the World. And remember, everyone, you are part of the tapestry of the voices of the world. Thank you.
Пока.
До свидания.
До свидания. Adios.
Hello.
Au revoir.
See you later.
Next time.
I hear the words of Gandhi and Martin Luther King to take the peaceful path, to dream the noble dream. We're all brothers and sisters who share a world that's small.
show the way, the violence will see.